radio network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about National Voter Registration Day, and we're recapping last night's debate, the presidential debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump on the road to the White House. Of course, I'm Harold Fisher, and my guests are Joyce Starks with the League of Women Voters, and Dr. Greg Carr, Chair of Afro-American Studies here at Howard University, and Howard University Political Science Professor Dr. Lorenzo Morris. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Millie, calling from Maryland. Millie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Are you there? Millie, give me a call back if you can. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to go back to more of the interviews or the comments that we saw or heard last night during the course of the debate. Again, this was a critical issue as it relates to Lester Holt asking about healing or better race relations in the black community.
We have a situation where we have our inner cities, African-Americans, Hispanics, are living in hell because it's so dangerous. You walk down the street, you get shot.
It's really unfortunate that he paints such a dire, negative picture of black communities in our country. Ugh. You know, the vibrancy of the black church, the black businesses that employ so many people.
Dr. Morris, how's the hell you're living in?
My hell is getting ups and downs, and it feels good when the other people on the other side expose the hell of their own mental distortions. But, you know, I think there is one thing going on that may not be so obvious with this. You would think that his managers would tell him after that statement, "What the hell have you got to lose?" that they would have some sort of buzzer attached to his brain to stop him from making those kinds of statements. But then it occurred to me, maybe he's trying to do something else that Dr. Carr alluded to, but deceptively, he wants to keep the race issue up front simply because he knows that his market or his supporters are not going to be turned away, but more importantly, the independents who may or may not be that sympathetic on race, now depending on which side you're looking at, may decide that Hillary, by constantly having to respond on it, is going too far. If you don't have an optimistic view of the independents, and I think most of them would be negatively influenced by that, but surveys show, I hate to put it crudely, that there is a segment that the more you racialize the debate, the more you get this division, and he's counting on that right side of the dimension.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to Nikki, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Nikki. What's on your mind? Nikki, are you there? Give me a call back when you can. I want to talk a little bit with Ms. Starks about this voting piece, because right now both of these candidates are trying to really reach out to individual constituencies. Donald Trump was talking about Hispanic voters today. But one of the things that I think has been missed is the power of the female vote. Can you talk about that and how during these last couple of weeks the prize that the female vote could be for a candidate?
Well, it's important because of the fact that the Voters' Right Act has been jeopardized. The U.S. Supreme Court gutted some of the key provisions in the Voters' Rights Act. And so now you have a lot of chaos going on with voting. When you get to the polls, you can't vote for one reason or another.
But what I'm talking about, Ms. Starks, you're a woman.
Yes.
Okay. Did you see the way she did?
Yes.
You heard that.
Yes.
And you're going to vote.
Yes.
My question was, what does the female vote mean to a candidate as we get closer to November 8th? I mean, you know, certainly they could move black or white or Hispanic females, they could really move the needle one way or the other, couldn't they?
Yes, I agree. The female vote is going to be key in this election, just as key as every other vote that's going to every other voter that's going out to vote. But we have a lot of females that will get out and vote more than men. And so it's going to be key that we organize and make sure that we're registering more women, more men, more young people. And we've been doing a lot of young women in high school, all the way up to some of the elderly. Today, we spent a lot of time with women, registering women who have moved from out of state to these retirement facilities and trying to get them registered to vote today. So the women are out there in numbers making a difference, and I think they're going to make a difference on November 8th.
Let me say, a point of personal privilege, there's a young woman in my family who voted for the very first time this year. My daughter voted in the state of Maryland at the age of 17 because she was going to be 18 before the primary. Certainly proud dad, voting in my family is not just a tradition, but it is an event. But Dr. Carr, historically, what part have women played in determining who sits in the White House?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about women of African descent,
sure,
it always goes back to the Civil War. I mean, they say, when did black women get the right to vote? People say, oh, the 19th Amendment, 1920. Mm-hmm. But if you look at black women, you have to say that guarantee really didn't emerge in terms of a full protection until the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And so, but in the period before, black men had the vote, and it was a vote, you know, it was a precarious situation. But black women, if you look at the scholarship, people are saying black women as part of black families helped determine how the black man cast that vote. So the women's demographic is very important. Even during the women's suffrage movement, Ida Wells, Mary Church Terrell, and others are out there in the streets saying, you know, we're not just with these white women. We are representing the race. And as in terms of representing the race, they have a big impact on local, national, and, in fact, state-level politics. And so now, of course, after the Voting Rights Act of 65, you see black women involved, not only in terms of organizing efforts, a lot of black women in the civil rights movement, Ella Baker and many others, you see them running for office. So Shirley Chisholm serves in Congress, she runs for president, and it changes the whole paradigm in terms of women at the national level. And so black women, and now, of course, finally, in the Democratic Party, for example, you got black women, for all intents and purposes, running the Democratic Party. Mm. Donald Brazil, you have Sister Daughtry out of New York, there are a number of black women at the highest levels, and that's because the Democrats understand, the Republicans need to understand, and Omarosa Manigault is not going to do it for them, but they're going to have to get a few more women in. They're going to have to understand that black women are really, in many ways, central to electoral politics in this moment.
Well, speaking of black women, let me go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Keisha, calling from Owings Mills up there in Baltimore County. Thanks for holding on. What's on your mind?
Hi. Hi. Just wanted to say I always appreciate these conversations. The debate last night, I think, unfortunately, for many people watching, was entertainment as opposed to trying to educate themselves on the issues and the candidates. Trump is a buffoon, and it amazes me the number of African Americans that are supporting him simply because they feel that he speaks his mind. That is the most ignorant reason to vote for a candidate. We cannot afford someone that is so ignorant, so easily, so thin-skinned at the position of world power. We will be in war if Trump is elected as president. This election, I think I am so dismayed by the number of uneducated voters who speak out of the side of their necks with rhetoric as opposed to actually educating themselves about the facts, about the candidates, and what it actually means to
be
president.
But Keisha, if I may interrupt, education is not a prerequisite to vote, only citizenship.
No, I don't mean education as far as.
I know you don't mean formal education. Intelligence is not a prerequisite
absolutely.
For voting.
It is not a prerequisite, but I think that people don't understand the severity of this election. They don't understand the actual power that is held in the position as president. and people, I am so tired of people talking about what President Obama did not do for African Americans by not understanding how his hands were tied by Congress. People don't understand how government works.
Well, Keisha, thank you. Keisha, I hate to interrupt, and I appreciate your passion. I got a lot of folks I want to hear from, but thank you for your intelligence, and certainly we look forward to seeing you at the polls. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phones, Ms. Starks, I want you to talk a little bit about some of the voter deadlines and how people can go about getting registered, because we have early voting coming up. We have registering and voting on the same day. Kind of run that down for us, please.
Sure. Early voting in Prince George's County starts October the 27th, and it runs through November the 2nd.
Is this just Prince George's, or is this all the entire state of Maryland? Or is that just Prince George's?
This is definitely Prince George's, and it should be the entire state of Maryland as well. And the election day, of course, is November the 8th. And in Prince George's County, we have eight places where you can vote early.
Okay. Now also, what about D.C.? There is registering and voting on the same day, correct?
I'm not sure about D.C.
Okay, because I understand that there were some deadlines deadlines to vote. We've got a voter registration deadline in the district, which is the 27th, I believe. I have to double check that information, because I know I have some poor information here. But we've got Maryland. Deadline is the 18th. We have the voter registration in Virginia is the 17th. And from what we understand, and I want to get the information about voting on in the district, registering and voting on the same day. I want to go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Roger, calling from Luray, Virginia. What's on your mind? Go right ahead.
How are you this evening?
Okay, Roger, I can't hear you quite well. You may want to try to give us a call back. Let's go to Sheila, calling from Maryland. Sheila, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine.
Nice to be on your show. I was going to talk about the debate, but that's really not important. What's important right now is that we have to get out and vote. I mean, it's not like your last votes with President Obama, and if you want to go back to the rest of the presidents. This is a serious matter. And basically, everybody says it's about our lives. It is. And I guarantee you, people say, well, I don't want to vote for Hillary, and I don't want to do this. Listen, you may have to go with Hillary, because if you don't, you already know what Donald Trump is trying to do. You already know what we're up against. As a black American woman, or just a black American period, we already seen how he was yesterday and other times. We don't have time to be figuring out who we going to vote for. I chose Hillary because she's been around. If we keep playing around, well, I'm not going to vote, then every time you don't vote, it's going to give him the upper hand. I heard the first caller talking about education. It's not about education. It's about those people, those 41% that he's holding on to up in the mountains who doesn't like to see new change. He keeps saying, we're going to take it back to where it used to be. Well, I ain't trying to go back to where it used to be. And we have to stand up and we have to stand tall. Now, I understand you don't want to vote, but you got to get out and vote, because every time you don't vote, those votes could go towards Donald Trump.
Let me say this, Sheila. While it's obvious you are not a fan of Donald Trump, I think the big issue, particularly on this day, is not so much who you vote for, but that you do show up to do it.
Yes, but I
can't hear,
and I know a lot of people.
I'm not going to win that one.
Let me say this: when Hillary became Secretary of State, everybody was happy. Everybody's, oh my God, that's good. But now that she's running as president, as a woman, everybody seemed like it kind of edgy. But first, you was good when she was running for president. You was good when she made Secretary of State. What's the problem now? So what about some emails? It's going to be casualties.
Okay. Sheila, thank you so much. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dr. Morris, surprises for you last night in the debate.
Well, I think, like many people, I was surprised by his lack of stamina, for lack of it. I mean, he couldn't control himself. He could control himself for 20 minutes, but at the end, he was drawn into some of his own faults and failures, in particular.
Mm-hmm.
The response to questions that were predictable. And one of the big hints of that was on the question of his references to women, because I think it's important to realize that not only was Hillary prepared, and I thought the response on the beauty contestant was symbolic of his lack of preparation, but also because it helped to surface, I think, helpfully, the fact that many of his supporters and maybe some independents still have a serious gender issue when you take the statement, does she look presidential? Some research has shown that that is still, even in this case, quite a visible and demonstrable bias in the system.
I need to talk a little bit more about that after the break. Stay with us. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Lines are still open. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about last night's debate, also about National Voter Registration Day. Now is the time. If you are not registered, please, 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 this is the time for you to make that happen. I'm going to have some more information for you about that in just a bit. But first, Charlie calling from Lexington, Maryland.
Lexington Park.
Lexington Park. All right, Charlie, what's on your mind?
Well, I just want to stand on my soapbox for a minute and say that what really annoys me about this election season is that I hear a lot of people saying both of these candidates are terrible, when in fact only one is terrible and the other is qualified. Hillary Clinton is the target, has been the target of a nonstop, endlessly funded smear campaign for the last 25 years. The Republicans and the Koch brothers have poured so much money and wasted so much taxpayer money investigating the Clintons on ridiculous, superfluous nonsense to paint a picture of her as untrustworthy. And you hear people say, well, she's a liar. And I say, what did she lie about? And they go, well, Benghazi and the emails. They can't name specific lies. They've just been told Benghazi over and over so many times, and the emails, that investigation lasted for 4 years. And Benghazi lasted for 4 years, and they turned up nothing. But the Republicans know that if you have an investigation long enough, it paints the picture of dishonesty, when in fact no charges or no reprimand was even considered after each of these investigations.
Well, Charlie, thank you so much for your input. I do want to piggyback on what Charlie is saying. Arguably, both of these candidates have a unusual relationship with the truth, or at least clarity. Your thoughts about that, Dr. Morris and Dr. Carr?
Well, actually, I sort of sympathize with the caller. I don't agree. I think it's a media-generated image linked to the Republican onslaught, going back to, I guess it was Kevin McCarthy in the House, who said, we finally got her. If you attack someone long enough and information is so poorly shared, then there's a lot of interest in it. But there is an additional problem. People fail to recognize that her emails were not hacked. State Department emails were hacked. And why would that make a difference? Because she had been in the White House as First Lady for 8 years. And the concern over secrecy, not necessarily deceptive, was a legitimate concern, especially given her husband's activities in the investigations that pursued there. So without intent, the treatment of the emails and the way she did it would be reasonable. I mean, the intent is sufficient based on her background. So there's an implication that because she didn't do things completely openly, that constitutes deception. And that's just not reasonable if you look at the entire picture. But I just wanted to add that there's one additional thing that goes along with this investigation, which is that the black vote that Clinton got in the 90s, it's been clear.
Nobody tends to look at the obvious data, but it's been clear that the only way back to the White House for the Democrats is with a heavy black voter turnout and black voter support. And if you have to damage them some way because you can't get them back to the Republican Party. And let me repeat my usual mantra, statistical mantra. No person has, no Democrat has entered the White House with the white vote since World War II, except for Johnson. Romney won by a statistical landslide among white voters. People forget that.
Mm-hmm. And that is what is happening with Donald Trump.
All you have to do with the black voters is to keep them from going. The one group that can resist, the one group that is the biggest turnout of voters, the one subgroup is black women. Mm-hmm. Not just educated, black women overall.
Dr. Carr.
No, I would agree. Dr. Morris has nailed it. And Donald Trump understands that. Donald Trump is rallying the white nationalists. Donald Trump hit NAFTA in the first 30 minutes of the debate last night, which is straight white nationalism. You know, he's this whole specter of non-white boogeymen, whether it be the Mexicans, the blacks who are living in hell, so forth and so on.
All of us.
All of us. Mm-hmm. All of us in hell. I mean, my hell is, you know, all of our hell is so high. but Dr. Morris has nailed it. The Democrats don't win without that black vote. And I really don't see, and Doc, you know, you have to help us maybe understand this. I don't see black folks turning out this year. I think that there was an anomaly with Obama because he was black. Mm-hmm. And I think that I don't see how Hillary Clinton, maybe she can come close, but I don't see how she duplicates those numbers of black turnout. Donald Trump could very easily become president of the United States.
Which brings me back to Ms. Starks, because right now, outreach, even at this late juncture, is critical. Outreach for the black vote, youth vote, voter outreach for different constituencies. Talk to me about how critical that is.
That is truly critical. I suggest that folks start having teas and over dinner and over lunch. Reach out to each and every person that you can to tell them how important it is to get out to vote, not just to be registered, but to actually go to the polls and vote, because that's where we're going to have the biggest impact. If we sit at home and don't vote, like he said, Trump could very well win this election if that's not the person you want to win.
Mm-hmm. Something to consider. Rochelle, yes. Calling from Capitol Heights. Hey, Rochelle, what's on your mind?
I want to know, how did you guys feel about the comment that Trump made about stop and frisk? He insisted that stop and frisk should be implemented again. Stop and frisk was struck down by the Supreme Court as being unlawful and discriminatory. So for Trump to make that comment that stop and frisk should be implemented again, I found that to be a true sign of his racism.
Okay, I was about to ask, were you talking about stop and frisk as an issue of law and order or an issue regarding race? And you just put a very fine point on that. Dr. Morris, stop and frisk, once again, the racial boogeyman for so many people.
But it was also an affirmation that information is not necessary in the debates or in the public sector and generally on some of these things, because in addition to the constitutional violation, which the caller pointed out, there is this overwhelming evidence affirmed by police officers widely that when stop and frisk was implemented, 90% of the people stopped and frisked had no charges brought against them. So that Trump made that statement in the context of bringing down the murder rate. There was a coincidental overlap for a brief period of time in New York, but it was clearly no viable evidence that it brought down any murder or serious crime rate, while crime rates continued to go down after the fact of stop and frisk, as Hillary Clinton pointed out. But the point here is it is another one of those symbols, I would say dog whistles, but it's so loud, it's a little bit louder than the dog whistle, that says, I declare myself. It is like the other things by which you introduce yourself. You introduce yourself as a fellow Trump supporter by bringing up the emails. I mean, frankly, it's like a signal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Dr. Carr, why is it that this issue of stop and frisk is so racially volatile?
Well, because, I mean, again, this is surveillance culture. I mean, Africans have been surveilled since we were brought here on those boats. So the whole idea of policing black bodies is not somewhat marginal to American discourse. It is at the center of American discourse. You know, the right of the law to stop and detain any black body at any time. It's implicit. And it doesn't matter whether that person is observing the law. Look at what happened in Charlotte with Brother Scott. Now, let's say this man did have a gun and an ankle holster on his ankle. You know, North Carolina is an open carry state.
Open carry state.
So, but no, the law he broke wasn't having a gun. The law he broke was being black in America. We can stop you at any time. And when Donald Trump last night introduced, he said three words, law and order. As Dr. Moore said, that's not a dog whistle. He's screaming from the highest mountaintop. I represent the majority of white people in this country who are getting nervous about the fact that you got unregulated, unpoliced Negroes and Mexicans walking around and we can't stop them when we want. That murder rate has fallen in New York. It's fallen under the last three mayors. And when Hillary Clinton, as Dr. Morris made that point, what did Donald Trump do? He interjected, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's his answer to everything. This isn't about information. This isn't about reality. This is about speaking to the deep fears of folks and trying to, in some ways, impact that. And Trump understands that. This is a trail that leads from Arnold Schwarzenegger in California to Jesse Ventura in Minnesota, now to Donald Trump, entertainers moving into the era of electoral politics.
Well, don't forget, I mean, Ronald Reagan was an actor first.
Absolutely. The grandfather of this whole foolishness, this descent into this foolishness.
Which goes back to the point that I was making, you know, in this great country, America, sometimes you don't have to be groomed as a politician. You don't necessarily have to have an education. All you have to do is be a citizen to vote and to run for office. And certainly, that is probably why we have so much discontent as we move forward on this road to the White House. I want to thank all of our guests. Before I take a break, or before I end this segment, one more time with that website, Ms. Starks, because we want to make sure that everyone has all of the information that they need.
The website is lwvmd.org.
lwvmd.org, League of Women Voters. Get out there. You still have time to register to vote. And like they say, if you don't vote, you can't complain. That's what they say, right?
We're going to go from our hill.
What address is that, boy? I tell you. I want to thank, of course, Joyce Starks, Dr. Greg Carr, and Dr. Lorenzo Morris. Always a pleasure to have both of you participating in the conversation. That is the Daily Drum on this Tuesday, September 27th. I'm Harold Fisher. I'll see you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Lorna Newton is next with The Connection on Sirius XM Channel 141. See you at 7 o'clock. Good night.
We got to do a series.